Speechware Document 52. Taxing Incomes and Inheritances. From the message of the President read at the opening of the first session of the 60th Congress, December 3, 1907. When our tax laws are revised, the question of an income tax and an inheritance tax should receive the careful attention of our legislators. In my judgment, both of these taxes should be part of our system of federal taxation. I speak diffidently about the income tax, because one scheme for an income tax was declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, while in addition it is a difficult tax to administer in its practical working, and great care would have to be exercised to see that it was not evaded by the very men whom it was most desirable to have taxed, for, if so evaded, it would, of course, be worse than no tax at all, as the least desirable of all taxes is the tax which bears heavily upon the honest, as compared with the dishonest man. Nevertheless, a graduated income tax of the proper type would be a desirable feature of federal taxation, and it is to be hoped that one may be devised which the Supreme Court will declare constitutional. The inheritance tax, however, is both a far better method of taxation, and far more important for the purpose of having the fortunes of the country bear in proportion to their increase in size a corresponding increase and burden of taxation. The government has the absolute right to decide as to the terms upon which a man shall receive a bequest or devise from another, and this point in the devolution of property is especially appropriate for the imposition of a tax. Laws imposing such taxes have repeatedly been placed upon the national statute books, and as repeatedly declared constitutional by the courts, and these laws contain the progressive principle, that is, after a certain amount is reached the bequest or gift, in life or death, is increasingly burdened and the rate of taxation is increased in proportion to the remoteness of blood of the man receiving the bequest. These principles are recognized already in the leading civilized nations of the world. In Great Britain, all the estates worth $5,000 or less are practically exempt from death duties, while the increase is such that, when an estate exceeds $5 million in value and passes to a distant kinsman or stranger in blood, the government receives all told an amount equivalent to nearly a fifth of the whole estate. In France, so much of an inheritance as exceeds $10 million pays over a fifth to the state, if it passes to a distant relative. The German law is especially interesting to us, because it makes the inheritance tax an imperial measure, while allotting to the individual states of the empire a portion of the proceeds and permitting them to impose taxes in addition to those imposed by the imperial government. Small inheritances are exempt, but the tax is so sharply progressive that, when the inheritance is still not very large, provided it is not an agricultural or a forest land, it is taxed at the rate of 25%, if it goes to distant relatives. There is no reason why, in the United States, the national government should not impose inheritance taxes in addition to those imposed by the states, and when we last had an inheritance tax, about one half of the states levied such taxes concurrently with the national government, making a combined maximum rate, in some cases as high as 25%. The French law has one feature which is to be heartily commended. The progressive principle is so applied that each higher rate is imposed only on the excess above the amount subject to the next lower rate, so that each increase of rate will apply only to a certain amount above a certain maximum. The tax should, if possible, be made to bear more heavily upon those residing without the country than within it. A heavy progressive tax upon a very large fortune is in no way such a tax upon thrift or industry, as a like tax would be on a small fortune. No advantage comes either to the country as a whole or to the individuals inheriting the money by permitting the transmission in their entirety of the enormous fortunes which would be affected by such a tax, and as an incident to its function of revenue raising, such a tax would help to preserve a measurable equality of opportunity for the people of the generations growing to manhood. We have not the slightest sympathy with that socialistic idea which would try to put laziness, thriftlessness, and inefficiency on a par with industry, thrift, and efficiency, which would strive to break up not merely private property, but what is far more important, the home, the chief prop upon which our whole civilization stands. Such a theory, if ever adopted, would mean the ruin of the entire country, a ruin which would bear heaviest upon the weakest, upon those least able to shift for themselves. But proposals for legislation such as this herein advocated are directly opposed to this class of socialistic theories. Our aim is to recognize what Lincoln pointed out, the fact that there are some respects in which men are obviously not equal, but also to insist that there should be an equality of self-respect and of mutual respect, an equality of rights before the law, and at least an approximate equality in the conditions under which each man obtains the chance to show the stuff that is in him when compared to his fellows. Speech or Document 52 Taxing Incomes and Inheritances. From the message of the President read at the opening of the first session of the 60th Congress, December 3, 1907. When our tax laws are revised, the question of an income tax and an inheritance tax should receive the careful attention of our legislators. In my judgment, both of these taxes should be part of our system of federal taxation. I speak diffidently about the income tax, because one scheme for an income tax was declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, while in addition it is a difficult tax to administer in its practical working, and great care would have to be exercised to see that it was not evaded by the very men whom it was most desirable to have taxed, for, if so evaded, it would, of course, be worse than no tax at all, as the least desirable of all taxes is the tax which bears heavily upon the honest, as compared with the dishonest man. Nevertheless, a graduated income tax of the proper type would be a desirable feature of federal taxation, and it is to be hoped that one may be devised which the Supreme Court will declare constitutional. The inheritance tax, however, is both a far better method of taxation, and far more important for the purpose of having the fortunes of the country bear in proportion to their increase in size a corresponding increase and burden of taxation. The government has the absolute right to decide as to the terms upon which a man shall receive a bequest or devise from another, and this point in the devolution of property is especially appropriate for the imposition of a tax. Laws imposing such taxes have repeatedly been placed upon the national statute books, and as repeatedly declared constitutional by the courts, and these laws contain the progressive principle, that is, after a certain amount is reached the bequest or gift, in life or death, is increasingly burdened and the rate of taxation is increased in proportion to the remoteness of blood of the man receiving the bequest. These principles are recognized already in the leading civilized nations of the world. In Great Britain, all the estates worth $5,000 or less are practically exempt from death duties, while the increase is such that, when an estate exceeds $5 millions in value and passes to a distant kinsman or stranger in blood, the government receives all told an amount equivalent to nearly a fifth of the whole estate. In France, so much of an inheritance as exceeds $10 million pays over a fifth to the state, if it passes to a distant relative. The German law is especially interesting to us, because it makes the inheritance tax an imperial measure, while allotting to the individual states of the empire a portion of the proceeds and permitting them to impose taxes in addition to those imposed by the imperial government. Small inheritances are exempt, but the tax is so sharply progressive that, when the inheritance is still not very large, provided it is not an agricultural or a forest land, it is taxed at the rate of 25%, if it goes to distant relatives. There is no reason why, in the United States, the national government should not impose inheritance taxes in addition to those imposed by the states, and when we last had an inheritance tax, about one half of the states levied such taxes concurrently with the national government, making a combined maximum rate, in some cases as high as 25%. The French law has one feature which is to be heartily commended. The progressive principle is so applied that each higher rate is imposed only on the excess above the amount subject to the next lower rate, so that each increase of rate will apply only to a certain amount above a certain maximum. The tax should, if possible, be made to bear more heavily upon those residing without the country than within it. A heavy progressive tax upon a very large fortune is in no way such a tax upon thrift or industry, as a like tax would be on a small fortune. No advantage comes either to the country as a whole or to the individuals inheriting the money by permitting the transmission in their entirety of the enormous fortunes which would be affected by such a tax, and, as an incident to its function of revenue raising, such a tax would help to preserve a measurable equality of opportunity for the people of the generations growing to manhood. We have not the slightest sympathy with that socialistic idea which would try to put laziness, thriftlessness, and inefficiency on a par with industry, thrift, and efficiency, which would strive to break up not merely private property, but what is far more important, the home, the chief prop upon which our whole civilization stands. Such a theory, if ever adopted, would mean the ruin of the entire country, a ruin which would bear heaviest upon the weakest, upon those least able to shift for themselves. But proposals for legislation such as this herein advocated are directly opposed to this class of socialistic theories. Our aim is to recognize what Lincoln pointed out, the fact that there are some respects in which men are obviously not equal, but also to insist that there should be an equality of self-respect and of mutual respect, an equality of rights before the law, and at least an approximate equality in the conditions under which each man obtains the chance to show the stuff that is in him when compared to his fellows.